William Morrow and Harper Audio present Fast Girls, a novel of the 1936 Women's Olympic Team by Elise Hooper. Performed by Carissa Vacker, Crystal Dawn Tift, Reba Burr, and Kaleo Griffith.
Historical note. During the 1920s and 30s, athletics referred to track and field events, but given that this word has expanded over the years to include many different types of sporting events, the modern label of track and field is used throughout this novel. All newspaper stories, letters, telegrams, and memos in this book have been created by the author and reflect the language and attitudes used to describe women athletes during their era.
Part 1. July 1928 to December 1929. 1. July 1928, New York City. Before they left the Prince George Hotel, Betty's mother warned her to be careful aboard the steamship and avoid the girls from California. Apparently, they were a loose set, something to do with year-round sun and mild temperatures softening one's moral fiber. Up until that point, Betty had only been half listening, but now she perked to attention. A roommate from some glamorous-sounding location like Santa Monica or Santa Barbara. Wouldn't that be a lark? With a series of decisive clicks, Betty fastened the latches closed on her suitcase and started for the door. Maybe if she was lucky, some of those objectionable girls from California would be her cabin mates aboard the SS President Roosevelt. Minutes later, Betty and her mother, Mrs. Robinson, sat in the back of a taxi cab on their way to Pier 86. A heat wave had been pressing over New York City for a week, and Betty fanned herself while her mother fussed with their taxi cab driver over the best route to take. Traffic clogged the street, and newspaper boys hawked their wares, bobbing from one stopped vehicle to the next. Their driver bought one and rested it against the steering wheel, studying the headlines.
"Are you sure this is the fastest way?" Betty's mother huffed.
"Ma'am, if there was a faster one, we'd be taking it, I promise. Now pray to the Virgin Mary that my engine doesn't overheat."
He crossed himself. As if on cue, the automobile shuddered and her mother inhaled sharply.
"Pray all you want, but my daughter simply cannot be late. She's on the Olympic team set to depart for Amsterdam at noon."
"That's so."
He turned around to inspect Betty.
"Please, sir, keep your eyes on the road," her mother said.
"But we're not moving."
Her mother folded her arms across her chest.
"So I noticed."
"I didn't realize there were Lady Olympians."
"This is the first year women will be competing in running events," her mother said,
and though she still sounded annoyed with the man, the unmistakable pride in her voice made Betty sit straighter.
"Running doesn't seem like a very ladylike business. Aren't you worried she'll become a bit manly if she keeps this up?"
he asked, squinting at her from under the rim of his pork pie hat.
"I could see encouraging rowing. Builds up the chest, you know,"
he smirked.
"What an absurd notion. And anyway, she's not running the marathon or undertaking anything too dangerous. She's a sprinter."
"If you say so,"
said the driver, cracking his knuckles. Clearly, he was enjoying rankling her mother, and Betty hid her glee by turning to gaze at the throngs of people on the sidewalks. Heat rippled in the air above the pavement.
"Here we are,"
the driver said, nosing his taxi cab into a line of vehicles at the edge of the road. Band music floated over the crowd. When he opened the door, Betty paused on the running board, tenting her hand to study the SS President Roosevelt in the distance. Red, white, and blue bunch.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?